Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with clarity, with precision, with accuracy. There is no confusion, no contradiction. God's word is taught. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this evening. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this evening. We declare and decree this evening that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, so we'll just try tie the knots around where the series we've been on for a while right now, Fix Your Eyes. We'll just try tie the knot this evening and bring it to a close for the now. Fix Your Eyes. If you are with your Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So, few things before we pay attention to verse 21, 22, 23. Verse 24 says, "Who his own self bear our sins." So it means that the context of what is being spoken about is sacrifice for sins. Remember, look at verse 21. It says, "Ye were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example." So there was a suffering that Christ suffered, and in that suffering is an example left for us to follow. Yeah. So verse 24 now talks about the suffering particularly. So who his own self bear our sins in his own body, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You know, we've done severally and taught severally from scriptures that when the scripture says by his stripes we are healed, yeah, it's not talking about physical healing. Yeah, we've done hours upon hours upon hours to explain that. You know, that is from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah chapter 53. So, by his stripes we are healed is a figurative expression for speaking about verse 25. "Ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." That is the healing. Yeah, so that is the healing. Yeah, that is healing. So ye were a sheep. So it is not we were healed on the cross 2,000 years ago. We are supposed to receive healing today. Nope. The healing we have received is the healing of salvation. The healing we have received is the healing that comes from the sacrifice that was made for sins. So for ye were a sheep going astray. Yeah, that's sickness. "But are now returned unto the shepherd," that word there, "and bishop of your souls." So if you go back to verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So the sufferings of Christ is an example laid down for the saints to follow after. So it means that the fact that Christ suffered is an example that we are to suffer for Christ. Hold your hands in 1 Peter and go to Philippians 2. Or in fact, go to Philippians 1 first. Go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, quickly. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. See what it says there. It says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, right, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries." which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of what? Salvation. So that which is an evident token of perdition is an evident token of your salvation and that of God. Look at verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. Look at it again, verse 29. For unto you, that is you and I, so by extension, the church that Paul wrote to, writing to saints, he by extension we are communicated to. So for unto us, it is given unto us in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. So we are not just meant to believe, and that is where it ends. No, the believing is an example, or it is the first point in the final point. In the real sense, it is that upon believing, those facts of the sufferings that you believed, that made you born again today, yes, we are to give ourselves in that like manner. So, verse 29 again, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Also to suffer for his sake. Verse 30, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here, you know, to be in me. Now look at chapter 2. You know, remember, Philippians wasn't written in chapters, right? The epistles, the books of the Bible were written as a collective or wholesome book, yeah, apart from the book of Psalms. Yeah, they were written in paragraphs in different forms as a whole book. So it's good you read the entire book a lot of times to understand the concept of the book or the book you're reading. So if you read the book of Philippians thoroughly from chapter 1 to the last chapter, you realize that the Philippians were people going through severe persecution. And that is what Paul was admonishing them about. So he says in chapter 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any boys of mercy, fulfill ye my joy. Look at verse 2. He says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So the same thing he said in verse 27, when he says, with one spirit, one mind, for the faith of the gospel. Yeah, he says in chapter 2 again, verse 2, he says, being with of one accord, one mind. So being of one accord is being of one mind, that is being of one spirit. Are we together? Yeah, so if you look at Acts chapter 2, yes, the disciples were in one accord. Yeah, on the day of Pentecost, right? Acts 1, Acts 2. They were in one accord. What does that mean? It means they were of one spirit. That means they put their mind together. There was a uniformity in their mindset. So being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing. So it means that the uniformity of the mindset must lead to let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So Paul is not depressed because of what is happening. Yeah. So because of what is happening to the Philippians, Paul is expressing his joy, his happiness. Yeah. Look at verse 1 again. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Yes. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy. So what is Paul saying? Paul is not depressed. He is happy for the fact that what? The Philippians are counted worthy to partake in the sufferings of Christ. So it means that even though there is something called the joy of service, there is also an ability or a tendency for the saint to get all cranky and get in the flesh or selfish. So that's why it says in verse 4, let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He now gets to verse 5. He says, let this mind be in you. Now, this is different from I have the mind of Christ. Yeah, this is speaking about an attitude, a mindset. Yeah, so let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So Paul says, the mind I want to be in you, or the mind that should be in you, is the same mind that Christ was in Christ. So we are to view the perspective, or we are to have a perspective of life based on the mindset that Jesus had. Hallelujah. So now we're going to pay attention to this verse again today. So it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Now, if you have a good Bible there, you see that there's this column, right? So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being, so it's continuous. Yeah, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, Paul, having mentioned the gospel and the facts of what they believed, he now breaks down to details that which they believed. So that which we believe, the message that saved us, becomes an example of the life that we live. Yeah, I'll say it again. So the message that saves us becomes the example of the life that we live. So as believers, it is a choice we are to make. We will see that. Yeah, so because Jesus made that choice, we are to make that choice. Yeah, so you can decide not to pray, you can decide not to come to, it is your decision. But Paul tells you, let this mind be with you. Let this mind be with you. Let this mind be in you, rather. So, verse 6, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery. What does that mean? God was made flesh. So, God became flesh. That is who you see as Jesus. At the time when you see Jesus on the earth, he did not lose his being God. He did not lose his deity. Yeah, he wasn't less God. He wasn't junior God. He wasn't God's junior brother. No. So, in the four Gospels, what do we see in the four Gospels? When I mean four Gospels, I mean Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? What do you see there? We see God as a man. We see God as a man. So mankind needed a savior, and God put on flesh to become the savior to supply salvation for mankind. So in the four Gospels, we see God as a man. Yeah? So we see God as a man. In the real sense, still God. Yes, that's how we say divinity and humanity, and humanity rather. You know, so Moses, that's what Moses used marriage to teach in Genesis, heaven and earth. You know, we're going to deal with that in the next series. We're so Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. Hallelujah, glory to God. So he says that, let this mindset be in you, which was in Christ, who being in the form of God. That means, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery. Now, the word here, thought it, is the Greek word hegomai. Yeah, H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. Hegomai. Anyone you want to pronounce it. We are, you know, we just want to get back to the root words, right? H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. It's a word that means to consider, to deem fit, or to take into account. Yeah, it's a word that means to consider, to deem fit, or to take into account. So, look now, we explained on Sunday, when you see the word not, is a word that shows a negative use of what was said or the context. Yeah, it's an introduction of a negative perspective. So, instead of thought it, so to thought it, or let me say, thought in it, yeah, to think it is to consider or to deem fit. But to think it not is not to consider or not to deem fit or not to take into account. Hallelujah. So what was thought it not? It really means that what? A deliberate attention or your affection is taken from one to another. Yeah? So it is to rather consider something as against another. Yeah? So thought it not robbery. So Jesus did not consider it. Now, the word here robbery is apagmos. Yeah? H-A-R-P-A-G-M-O-S. Apagmos. Anyone you want to pronounce it, really. Yeah? H-A-R-P-A-G-M-O-S. In fact, in the new series we're looking at from on Sunday, we're going to deal with lots of Greek and Hebrew words. Yeah, so I think I need to even get used to them already myself. So, apagmos. Yeah, it's a word that's the word robbery. It's a word that means to seize something. Yeah, the word there, robbery, is a word that speaks about seizing something, that's C-E-A-S-E. See, that word, let me show you a scripture where it was used. That word was used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. Look at what Paul uses it there for again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud. That's the word they use there. Look at it again. Look at it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Yes. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the same word. Seized. Yeah. To be seized. Yeah. The real word apizo. Apagamos, you know, they all have their similar words, but you know, similar roots. So that's the word robbery used in Philippians chapter 1 or chapter 2, rather, verse 7. Have it together. So, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery. So thought it not robbery means to consider to seize or to not, or to not take into account, yeah, a form of, okay, I think I can say it this way. Thought it not will be the opposite. That means he did not consider himself. Yeah, the fact that thought it not was introduced in that verse means that he did not consider himself to be equal with God. That's the meaning of thought it not. You get that? Yeah, so he did not, so he put his attention on something else, and in putting his attention on something else, he was seizing something else than what he could have seized. So he could have put his attention on the fact that he was equal to God, but he did not consider that. He did not deem, he did not take it into account that he was God. Did you get that? Yeah, to thought it not robbery means that he did not take it into account to be equal with God. He did not consider himself as equal with God. So it means that he was God, but he did not take it into account. Look at it this way. Yeah, you are a billionaire, right? You are a billionaire and you come to church and you wash the toilet. It means that in your washing of the toilet, it doesn't change the fact that you are a billionaire. Whether you use sponge or brush or soap or liquid soap or solid soap, the fact that you are washing doesn't change the fact that you are a billionaire. But as a billionaire who chose to wash, what does that mean? It means you did not take into account the fact that you are a billionaire. So, if you want to report that story using Paul's word, you will say that, Joshua thought it not robbery to be a billionaire, yet he washed the toilet. Or, Joshua thought it not robbery, yes, so look at it. So, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. So, a billionaire, who is Joshua, right, went to wash toilet. It means that he did not consider himself as a billionaire, but made himself of no reputation. So, God in the fullness of God, did not consider himself as God, but he made himself, now look at it, remember, for him to have made himself, it means it was a deliberate effort, a deliberate choice to look away. So, he did not consider who he was. Yeah, the billionaire did not consider the amount of money in his account. So, he decided to look away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it means that when you saw that as if Jesus was helpless. No, he was not that was helpless. He decided to look away from help. Hallelujah. He says, but made himself of no reputation. He looked away. He did not consider his wealth. He did not consider his riches. Yeah. He did not consider who he was. Yeah. He looked away. Yeah. So he's looking away. It's not lack of power. Hallelujah. He's looking away. It's because of your sake. Yet in that thing he has done, he has set an example for you and I to follow. So if Jesus had not looked away, we might still have remained in our sins. But he made that choice and put it as an example that we will follow. So it means as saints, sometimes we would have to look away from some things that we possess. We would have to look away from some things that we own. Yes, look, remember we asked ourselves the question on Sunday, can you be like God to serve God? This is God. This is God, rendering service to mankind. Can you be like God to serve God? Yeah, can you choose to put your amount of money away? See, no matter how much of money a man can have, it is not as much as the totality of God's wealth in himself. Yeah, the totality of God's wealth, see, God is God by himself. In fact, the next series is going to teach us a few things about, you know, God and his names and everything. See, God is God by himself. Yeah, see, let me help you a little. Yeah, the only reason why the children of Israel wanted to give God a name was because they wanted to distinguish God from the other gods in Egypt. In the real sense, God is God. God is God. There is none like him. So there's no need to call God any other name in trying to differentiate him from other gods, because he is the totality of the supremacy or the entirety of eternity. Are we together? Yeah. So God in himself took on flesh to die for the sins of men, to die for the sins of man. So he didn't consider his status. He didn't consider his being God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, see it again, verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon. The word here, took upon, means to lambano, to lay hold. So, he laid hold on the form of a servant. Oh, glory to God. So Jesus became a servant. Yeah, diaconia. Yeah, so he became a servant to provide service. Yeah, in his service we get saved. Yeah, in our service we render service to men. Yes, in the real sense unto God. But he has given an example of what service really is. Hallelujah. So what was on Jesus' mind? Think about it. What was on his mind? What do you think was on his mind? And Paul tells you that is an example that we should follow. Not his dress, not the multi, not all that he was. Dear saint, what is on your mind? In your service to God, what is on your mind? What do you think about the most? What do you exalt over every other thing? Or what do you exalt over your service to God? Yeah, in your worship, in your rendering of service among the saints, how do you carry yourself? Do you carry yourself as a graduate? No, you are first a son of God before a graduate. You must not exalt your first class degree over the fact that you are a son of God. So you are a son of God who graduated in school, yes, but first a son of God because you are born again, born from above. Hallelujah. You see, think about it this way. If you are writing a CV, right, you start writing and presenting your most important information. Do you understand? Yes, you present your most important information before the least important. Yes, that's why you see all the people that put football and play volleyball on their CV. Usually comes on the last page, just before reference available on request, you know. But the first important thing is the fact that what you are Joshua, right? For instance, you write Joshua Yusuf. That's the most important thing on that CV. Yeah. So if the believer is to have a CV, yes, the CV will first hold the fact that he says born of God. Yes, the CV will first hold the fact that a child of God before Joshua. That's the order of priority. It is that which is of God first before others. So Jesus being God, or Jesus who is God all by himself, yes, that could bring himself by his all-powerfulness to enter the womb of a woman, yes, all to render service. Hallelujah. All to render service. So what is in your mind when you render service? What is in our heads when we render service? Yes, is it your certificate? Yes, is it number of friends you have, number of DGs you have, number of MDs you have, number of bank managing directors you have? Yeah, the amount of figures or the number of or the amount you have in your account. What do you think about in your service to God? Never be too big in your eyes when it comes to service to God. Remain that small person that you have always been before you became who you are. Yeah, you are still God's boy. You are God's girl. You are God's child. Yeah, see yourself always as God's boy. Yeah, see yourself always. Submit yourself to the correction of God's word. Submit yourself to the correction within the saints. Commit yourself to the correction that the scripture offers. Don't be bigger than the world. Don't be bigger than service. Hallelujah. See, God was God right from when he was born. He could have decided to come without being in the womb of a woman. That is God for you. But he chose to be in the womb of a woman. Hallelujah. He chose to be in the womb of a woman. Yeah, but yet he didn't consider that. He didn't consider himself as God. He was never going to be born again. Jesus did not need to be born again. He did not. Paul says, let this mind, look at it again. Verse 5, Philippians 2, 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That is, he lambanoed on the lamb or held on to the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, look at that word in verse 6. Thought it not robbery to be equal. The word here equal means to be in the same level or to be equal in the real sense. Equality speaks about equality. Yeah, but he thought it not robbery to be equal means that he didn't superimpose his equality or his being God. He didn't think of himself as God at the time. What did he do? He thought of himself as one who was a servant. He made himself of no reputation. He decided by himself to be that. Yeah? Look at the word. The word there, no reputation, is a word that speaks about worthless, void, no effect. Yeah? That word there, no reputation, is a word that speaks about worthless, void, no effect. So, rather than considering himself as equal, he made himself of what? No reputation. That means it seems like worthless, despite all he had. So what did Jesus do? Jesus laid aside his equality with God, or laid aside his being God. Hallelujah. He laid aside his being God. He laid aside his being God. Can you be like God to serve God? That's a question you should keep asking yourself. Can you be like God to serve God? Can you come out of your shell? Can you tear your shirt and be like one who is rendering service to God just the way God renders service to man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, there was nothing about him. We looked at that on Sunday. Nothing about him that people could have desired of. That means it would most likely take grace to listen to him. Yeah, but yet he took upon himself. He took upon himself the form of a servant. Hallelujah. See, dear saints, we cannot afford to serve God as bosses. Yeah, that's very important to take note. You cannot serve God as a boss. Like I would always say, when you are walking into the church, you drop your CV at the door. You leave it at the door. You drop your wealth at the door. Yeah, that's one of the issues that happened in James. Okay, hold your hands in Philippians 2 and go to James 2. Go to James 2. Go to James 2. Go to James 2. James 2. Look at James 2, chapter 1. James chapter 2, rather, verse 1. James 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. Yes, so it means that this particular faith is speaking about an exhibition or a conduct amongst people. Look at verse 2. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in godly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth a gay clothing. What is gay clothing? Gay clothing will be the clothing of that man who wore golden ring in verse 2 and goodly apparel in verse 2. Yeah, so gay clothing, gay clothing does not say clothes for homosexuals. No, no, no. It's a figure of speech used to qualify what was said in verse 2. And you say unto him, sit down here in a good place. And you say to the poor, stand out there. Or sit under my feet, or footstool, or stand behind. Verse 4. Are ye not then partial in yourself? So it means that James was correcting people that tolerated partiality among saints. Now, it means that the church doesn't give room to partiality. The church is the leveling ground that qualifies or levels both the rich and the poor. Yeah, the church is the only place on earth where ideally the rich should be able to call the poor my brother, my sister. Yeah, that is what Christ died for. That is what Christ died for. Paul says, let this mind be. So it means that if you are rich, you will come amongst the saints and not consider your wealth in relation to the saints. Hallelujah. Yeah, go back to Philippians 2. I don't want us to deviate from this. Let me fix my eyes on what I want us to do today. Yeah. So Philippians 2, he says, I'm being found in fashion as a man. Being found in fashion as a man. Now, that is verse 8. The word dear fashion is a word that speaks about a shape that he made for himself as a man. So, and being found in fashion as a man, it means that there was a shape he made for himself, the shape of a man. What happened? He humbled himself. Hallelujah. There's a difference between when life humbles you and when you humble yourself. Hallelujah. You cannot claim to be humble when life has already humbled you. In the real sense, you will know your humility when you have all that it takes to be proud. But yet, you have that sincere heart. You have that mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Hallelujah. See, when you are less than 20, it's expected for you to be respectful normally, anywhere you find yourself in the world. If especially for a country like Nigeria, where we, you know, hold respect in a very, very high esteem. Yeah, it's normal to just be by default respectful. Yeah, but the question is, let's see your slant in relation to people when you are 40, when you are 50, when you are 60. Let's see your slant in relation to the service of God when you are 20, when you are 40, when you are 50. If you are less than 20, for instance, and you come around saints, yeah, because of the cultural bias we find ourselves in, it's likely that you will be the closest person that will be asked to go and get towel from the car. Yeah, and so if someone says go get the towel from the car and let's clean the chairs and prepare for church, yeah, and you run there, yeah, it might not necessarily be because you are humble. It is that is the state you are in. Life has humbled. Life by itself has put a cap on your humility at that point in time. But let's see your slant, your response to the things of God when you have all that you need in life. Yeah, when you have all that you need in life. Hallelujah. Think about it. Imagine when we all got into university that time, you know, just before they gave us matric number, everybody was, you know, we're all, you know, especially for a country like Nigeria where people, you know, do all those things. You know, you are, yes, sir. Okay, sir. Yes. When they say all the children in 200 level meet at Olabi by 10 o'clock, 9:30, you are there. 8 o'clock, you are there. You are sitting with your writing material. Nobody has to do writing material. You are sitting with writing material. You bring out your Bible, your book, and your notepad, and your Bible, and you are trying to wait for what they will say, and you'll be jotting down things. They will come and say, this school was, I'm talking about myself literally, they'll say, this school was founded in 2010. You will jot it down. Yeah, because you because you are scared in my head that to ask you questions that will give you an A. You know, but in the real sense, when you get matric number, what happens? Everything changes. Once you get to 200 level, yeah, your dress sense changes a little. Yeah, when you get to 500 level, you know, you start talking to anybody anyhow. You know, yeah, so the real sense is that what humbled you in the 100 level was what? The fact that you were still a fresher. Hallelujah. Let that mindset be in you. Yes, that maintain your innocence. Yeah, that's very important to take note of. Maintain your innocence. Maintain the innocence of your heart. Keep it. Stay with it. It's godly. Stay with it. It's godly. Stay with it. It's godly. Yeah, let it not be that your service to God, people can know when you have a job or when you got promoted at your job place. Let it be that you maintain the same consistency, the same fervency. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, when you had a job, you come to church by 9. When you had a job, you come to church by 9, you will leave work by 11, leave church by 11:30. Now you don't have a job. You are here by 8:30. You are there by 7 o'clock. Yeah, no. When you had the job, you should have maintained the posture you would have when you didn't have a job. Yeah, not now. Yeah, you don't have a job. Yeah, your CV in itself has a voice in itself that speaks better than the voice of Abel. Your CV alone, you've sent it to the nations of the world. Yeah, as if that's what Jesus gave instruction to. Now, you're forming humble. Yeah, you go for an interview. The first thing, oh, yes, sir, everything, ma, yes, sir, ma, yes, sir. Yeah, the real sense, the truth remains that when you come among saints, let your innocence be top-notch. Maintain that innocent heart. Don't let people make you look bigger than who you are. Hallelujah. Especially when it comes among sin. Don't let people wash you out of your innocence. Hallelujah. So it means that among sins, yeah, we don't consider our positions. We don't consider our position in the world. Yes, if you are a president and you come among sins, you lift your hands and worship. Yeah, if you are a president and you come among sins, you render service among sins. Yeah, so don't allow your positions get into you. Don't allow your age get into you. Don't allow money get into you. Actually, don't allow money expose a false character of you, of yours. Hallelujah. Be like Jesus. Let this man be in you. Bible says he humbled himself. He brought himself low to the form of a servant. Hallelujah. Service required all that Jesus did. How will it look if you found out that you were as wealthy as you are, but yet you maintained your innocence in service? Yes, how would it look like if you found out that you consistently maintained a beautiful career alongside with your service and fellowship with the saints? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lift your hands and say, I can serve Jesus. Lift your hands and say, I can serve Jesus the way Jesus served mankind. Hallelujah. Yeah, I can serve God. I have the heart of service. I have the heart of service. I have the heart of humility. Yeah, Jesus humbled himself. I can humble myself. Yeah, who am I? What do I have? What do I have? Who am I? So that's why you learn the habit of coming early for meetings. Yeah, be there early for meetings. Ask if you are not in any department. Yeah, ask what can you do? What can you do to help? Join a unit. There's always something that needs to be done just before the church starts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not come amongst it and say, I magnify my office like Paul. If nobody magnifies my office and for me, I will do it. Yeah, if nobody, when it comes to service to God, let this mind be in you. Not I magnify my office, not only office headquarters. Yeah, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Hallelujah. That is why I say, one of the most important things we talk about in God's palace is we don't relate to ourselves on a level of titles outside the world. You say, Brother Lemmy, when it's time to say, Sister Esther, you say, Barista Esther, Barista Taiwo. What? No. Don't create what is not meant to be in the church. In the church, there's neither barista, engineer, sound engineer, or lawyer, or doctor. We are all one in Christ. You see, the problem with calling people by their title in church is that you don't know who that approach will be affecting. And so because I did not study law now. In fact, you know, sometimes some people even hear some other people call some other people baristas. And they'll be thinking of what they studied. Ah, what did I study? Plants. Yeah, I'm saying it is brother, it is sister. Not raise one over the other. Not raise one over the other. Not engineer Joshua. Let this mind be in you. When it comes to service, what do? We put everything about our CV at the door. We leave it there and humble ourselves like Jesus did. Hallelujah. No, there's this example I had given a while ago, you know, about two brothers who went for a retreat. You know, one of the brothers was ironing the other brother's clothes, you know. And after the retreat, they exchanged their complimentary cards. Yes, the one who was ironing somebody's clothes gave the other guy whose clothes was ironing his card. And the one whose clothes was ironed was saying, "Ah, are you a printer? How did you get this card?" You know, it's printers that have access to different people's complimentary cards. Yeah, only to find, because what he had seen on the card was something that was what shouting about. But what happens? That guy put whatever it was aside. I think we were both pastors or ministers or something like that. Yeah, but one chose to humble himself. One chose to serve, to render service amongst the saints. Say, I choose to humble myself. Praise God. So look at Philippians 2 again, verse 8. So, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. That word there, obedient, means to subject yourself like a student. The word there, obedient, means to subject yourself as a student, like a student. So it means like you it's like someone who's learning. So what did Jesus do? He submitted himself unto death. Remember we said on Sunday, Jesus is life. To John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and life, the life. Jesus is life. Yet he submitted himself to death. Hallelujah. He submitted himself to death. Death in the real sense has no power over Jesus. But yet he submitted himself to death. Why? To render service for you. For you and I. Paul says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Let not your mind be on your possession. Let not your mind be on your CV, your status. Yeah, not even the miracles you have performed. Hallelujah. Let not your mind be in fact, let not your mind be on the fact that, you know, you have done so much for the kingdom. When it comes to service, there is still more service that can be done. There is still more service that can be done. Yeah, let not your mind be on what men have made you. Yeah, not, see, the fact that you are a CEO today doesn't mean that you'll be a CEO tomorrow. In fact, in our day and time right now, we have so many CEOs who all they have is just, let's not go further. Yes, but they are CEOs. Yeah, they are the same people that are doing CEO on Instagram. They are the same people that are wishing their CEO's birthday. Yeah, today we want to wish our CEO a happy birthday. And you are the one typing it though. Yeah, so in our day and time, they are CEOs everywhere. But the truth remains that what? So you don't come to say, I'm a CEO. Me, CEO, like a me that is CEO. Eh? Even if, let's assume you are the original CEO and you have 500 people you are paying, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Yeah, not to come to church. Do not many of your mates are paying. Do not many of your category, your types are paying. Do not many of your, you know, let this mind be in you. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you. Look at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, hallelujah, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Yeah, at the authority, yeah, the reputation, not at the name of Jesus. It's not about Jesus. It's about the authority, the work he has done, his reputation. Hallelujah. Yeah, the name of Jesus speaks about his reputation on account of the work he has done, on account of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, that every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God our Father. Verse 12. He now says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, he didn't say work for your salvation with fear and trembling. No. The saint, no man has the ability to work for salvation. No, you cannot work for salvation. Jesus has done the work of salvation and rendered a form of service towards a man who believes. Yet it is a service that gives us salvation. So he didn't say work for your salvation. No, he says work out your salvation. Yet it means that let your salvation which is in you be evidently seen by others. That's the same thing James taught when he says faith without works is dead. What is faith without works is dead? It means that which you've received as God's faithfulness, if we don't see the physical works, or other men cannot see the physical works, or other men cannot see it reflecting your conduct, yeah, it is dead. It is inoperative. That's the Greek word dead. It is inoperative. It is ineffective. Yeah? So it says, work out your own salvation. Yeah? So the salvation that Paul is speaking about will be in reference to conduct. Yeah, it is work out your own salvation. That is conduct. That means Christian conduct. So salvation is not an absolute word that speaks about your sins are forgiven from Genesis to Revelation. The context determines it. Remember, from chapter 1, verse 25, 26, 27, we've seen something very important that Paul says. He says that what we have believed, yeah, Jesus left an example for us to follow. Hallelujah. 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 So wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not my presence alone, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He now tells you, don't end there, hallelujah. He now tells you in verse 13. In fact, before we go to verse 13, let's look at a few examples there. The word there, trembling, is the word that speaks about reverence. Yeah? So fear doesn't mean to be scared. No, it is walk out your conduct with a sense of reverence for that which you've received. Yeah? Look at 1 Corinthians 2, 3 quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much what? Trembling. Yeah? In much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. So it means that, go back to Philippians, it means having reverence. Yeah? The word there, fear, speaks about an alarm, or speaks about respect. It's not a word that speaks about, you know, being afraid. No. It speaks about reverence. In reference of Christ, yeah, in reference for Christ, it says, work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. So let what happened in Christ be found in your conduct. That's the meaning of what I just explained. Yeah, what does work out your salvation mean? It means that let what happened in you, let what Christ did to you be found in your experience. Yeah, so trembling and fear is our respect and our reverence for that which Christ has done. Hallelujah. So we are to give expression to him. Yeah, not work to get saved. How do we know? Look at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good will. So the willingness and the doing, it is God that is at work in you. What are you to do as a saint? You are to what? Let God have an expression through you. Because he is already at work in you. He is already at... So look at it there, saints. It means that if God is already at work in you, it means that you can live a humble life. It means that you can live a simple life. It means that you can please God. It means that you can serve Jesus like he served Jesus. Like Jesus served mankind, rather. It means that you can serve God like the way God served man. Oh, my gracious Father. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. See, we can serve like Jesus. We can be promoted at work and still remain and maintain our innocence. We can serve God with our promotion and remain humble and honor God's men and honor God's men and honor God's flock. Paul says, let this mind be in you. Yeah, let this same passion that Jesus had be in you. His love for humanity, his love for sinners, let this mind be in you. Yeah, not the kind of mind where you be humble for promotion. Hey, they are doing performance review next month. Oh, everybody now is sir. Or because you want to become a leader in the church. Yeah, so after you become a leader, now you say, yes, me, I lead you on. No, that was not the mind of Christ. Our motives must be pure and consistently innocent. We do things for the same reason why Christ did them. Hallelujah. Say I can please God. Say I can please God. Say I can serve God as a humble folk. Say I can serve God as a humble saint, rather. Hallelujah. So he now goes further and tells you in Philippians. Now, after he has told you, work out your conduct. That means let that which you've received be evidently seen in your conduct. Why? Because it is God that is working in you. So just give expression to that which God is doing in you. He now says in verse 14, do all things without what? Murmuring and disputing. Hallelujah. That speaks about complaining. Where do we have murmuring in the Bible? Book of Numbers, the Israelites. Yeah, to murmur means to complain. You're always complaining. And that a lot of times, I even complain without choice words, without definite words. You got to be doing it. So, do all things without murmuring. Hallelujah. Do all things without murmuring. Do all things without murmuring. Do all things without murmuring. When it comes to service, when it comes to the things we do for God, we do it with the mind of Christ. Yeah? Not that you serve in church and go home and start complaining. These people, they'll say, let's come and take care of the environment, to take care of the compound. They just come and arrange the chair. And you know why? No. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. The word disputing there speaks about an argument in your thoughts. Yeah, the word they dispute is speaking about and to argue in your thoughts. Why is he even talking to me like that? But you're not saying it out. Yeah, do off when it comes to service. See, don't let what man does to you, or don't let what the things that men do to you affect your service to God. Why? Because your service is not to man, it's to God. Yeah, God has served man so that man can serve God. Hallelujah. Yeah, God has put his, you see, God served man and gave an example that man should be able to use to serve God. So God served man so that man could serve God. Yeah, in the real sense of serving God as men, it is amongst men. Yeah, see, the moment you grumble and you are arguing with your mind and your thoughts, you are no longer doing pure service. Hallelujah. Jesus, as the lamb was slaughtered, Bible says in 1 Peter, it says he opened not his mouth. Hallelujah. See, it's a privilege to serve God. Yeah. See, always remember that at the end, you will stand before the audience of one. Yeah. What do you want to hear? Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the trophy. That's the crown we'll wear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Yeah. To be saved, to live forever is not based on your works. It's not based on your service. But the crown and the award, you know, the judgment seat, the bema seat, yeah, is based on our works. What we've allowed God to have expression through us. Hallelujah. Yeah, so do all things without murmuring and disputing your thoughts. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. The word there, blameless, means to have no fault. To have no fault. Look at Philippians 3:6. It says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, I am blameless. That's the same word. Yeah, I have no fault. I have no fault. That's what Paul was teaching in Philippians 3. I think we've done a teaching on that when he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, you know, flesh of sufferings, you know, being made. Oh my goodness. I think this will help us explain that better. Yeah, but let's take it easy, okay? Look at verse 15 again, Philippians 2. He says what? That ye may be blameless. That means be without fault. He now says without fault and harmless. Yes, in this crooked and perverse nation. The word there, crook, is the word used for people who have gone out of God's way or people who oppose God. Yeah, the word there, perverse, means to mislead or to be in error. It was used in Luke 9 for the one and Matthew 17:17. You can jot that down. Yeah, to be the crooked, yeah, speaks about gone out of God's way or to oppose God. Perverse means to be misled or to be in error. Yeah. Yeah, so we don't. It's a generation where it's easy to say, I don't care about anybody. I will tell you my mind. That is the pastor or the bishop. I will tell him and I will claim. See, I will clear your doubts. No, we're not told to say our minds. We are told to renew our minds. Romans 12. Yeah, we are told to renew our mind. So how do we receive correction among saints? When the word of God corrects us. Yeah, if you are coming late and the word of God corrects you and your pastor corrects you, your leader corrects you, you have to humble yourself to the correction. If you don't come late, nobody will correct you. Do you understand? Except the person that is dealing with you doesn't, he's just someone that's wicked, outrightly wicked. You cannot come early for a meeting and you are accused of coming late. No. Hallelujah. Ask yourself a question. Can you get that contract you are pursuing and still maintain your simple heart? Can you take upon yourself humility like Jesus did? He took upon himself. Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you do that? Are you serving God for fame? Yeah? See, one of the things you must afford not to do or you cannot afford to do is to serve God for fame, for popularity. No. If it's about God, it's about God. It's not about us. If it's about you, it's not about God. Hallelujah. If you are serving and it's about you, then it's not about God. If it's about God, it can't be about us. Hallelujah. Let this man be in you. Let this man be in you. He who was God. Yeah. When it comes to the things of local church, local assembly, when it comes to service, coming early for meetings, arranging things, coming early, coming for meetings, prayer meetings, let this man be in you. No, don't be one who is known for excuses. Hallelujah. Don't be one who is not for excuses. See, that's what Paul now finished speaking about. You know, in Acts chapter 10 of Philippians 3, he now says that I may know him. He was just trying to say that he dropped all his CV. You might lay your hands on that teaching. Okay, look at Philippians 3 quickly. Let's just do a rundown. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Yeah, beware of dogs. It's not saying beware of the dogs. It's not talking about the sticker you put in your compound. Yeah, beware of dogs. Speak about the kind of people. Yeah, it means beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, see, if I want to boast in the flesh, I will boast though. Hey, if I want to boast, I will. Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. What is he saying? If I bring out my CV, see, you will not stand me. He said, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof in my trust in the flesh, I more. Paul say, I more. You know, the difference between what you say, I am more than you. But imagine when you summarize it as I more. Paul say, go and bring all the people that have good CVs amongst you. He say, I more. Do you understand what Paul is saying? He has already started talking about the sufferings of Christ that is an example for the saints to follow. He now spoke about the mind of Christ which should be in us. He's now trying to give them an example of what let the mind be in you. So, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof in my trust in the flesh, I more. See verse 5, circumcised the eighth day, this is CV, yeah, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, I more. You see, that's the thing he said. So, as touching the law, a Pharisee, it means that an explicit communicator when it comes to the law. Yeah, you look at Acts, he says he learned under the feet of Gamaliel. So Paul says, when it comes to the law, that word, I Pharisee, is a figure of speech for I more. Hallelujah. See verse 6. Concerning zeal, is it zeal? I more. Is it persecuting the church? I more. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I am blameless. I am not without fault. So if it's to talk about the righteousness, yeah, I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't fornicate, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do that. What did he say? He says, I am blameless. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Why? Because Paul had the mindset of Christ. Paul saying, let this mind be in you, was the same mind that was in Paul. Do you get that? So if you bring up Paul's CV, you can't stand him. But he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He says, ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. What is he saying? Because of his knowledge in Christ. He wanted to lambano on that same humility, that same lifestyle that was in Christ. He suffered the loss of all things, and he count them as dung. What the word there dung means, he talked about animals' excretion. That which animals excrete. So he considered his CV as dung, that I may win Christ. So that I may win Christ, to win Christ there means what? To be in alignment with that which Christ has put as a template. Look at verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. So, that I may know him is not a prayer of the church today. No, let me say this way. Right? Paul, that I may know him in Philippians 3:10, is not saying that it's a prayer point. You know, a lot of people use that as prayer point. Today, we are going to be praying that we may know Jesus. Paul said that we may know Jesus and the power of resurrection. Now, what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, I have suffered loss for all those things on my CV so that I may know him. Yeah, that means so I may be a partaker of what? The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You see that? So Paul put those CVs away, yeah, to be like Christ, to serve Christ, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. So you might want to lay your hands on that teaching. I could help us bring out the link to Philippians 3:10, where I taught it explicitly from Philippians chapter 3 and paid attention to a lot of the words in that. I'll just send it when I'm sending it along this teaching, yeah, if anyone can remind me. So Paul left his CV so that he can be what? A partaker of that which matters. Look at Romans 12 quickly. Romans chapter 12 verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Romans 12 verse 10. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 12, rather. It says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Verse 11, not slothful in business. Hallelujah. Fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you, and bless and not and curse not. Hallelujah. Yeah, let this mind be in you. Yeah, let this mind be in you. What's the mind? Kindly affectionate one to another. He talked about that in Philippians 3, but in Philippians 2, verse 4. He says, well, think of others highly than yourself. He says, don't be slothful in business. When it comes to the business of God, don't be slothful in business. Not slothful in business, he tells you what he's speaking about. It means being fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Do you get that? Yeah, so that makes it clear, right? So let this man be in you. We are not to take our rights. Yeah, responsibilities will always be there. Yeah, always be responsible for your actions, your decision. No excuse, not always explaining. Like I always say, there are some people, if you want to just check for their name, instead of searching for their name, maybe you check for, instead of searching for Brad, just want your contact, you just check for, sorry sir, sorry sir, I'll be late, sorry sir, I'll just search for late, I'll be late, pastor, I'll be late, pastor, I'll be late, pastor, I'll be late. When it comes to the service to Christ, service to God, you are the one to be deliberate about your time, you know, regulation. Yeah, see, a lot of people who don't render proper service out of a genuine heart to God in a country like Nigeria will go to the UK or the US and most likely not go to church for 5 years. Yeah, I know many people like that. Why? Because a lot of us, we are serving God because of our needs. Yeah, we are serving God as a means to an end. If you serve God, He will serve you. No, God has served you, so you will serve Him. They are different. Yeah, there's nobody that serves God. He said, if you use your teenage age to serve God, God will prepare a husband for you. We are to serve God as an end in itself, not a means to an end. Not a means to an end. Imagine Jesus, who is God, being abused by men. If some of us had 1% of God, even some of us said that the few things we know is just I'm born of God. Our character, our shoulder pads are up. No, God Himself who born you. Yeah, there was a mind He had. There's a mind He had. There's some people, nobody can talk to them, nobody can correct them. The world can never speak to them. Yeah? You are, I'll slap you, I will deck you, I will move you, I will lose your title. See, let's drop salvation outside, though. Yeah? See, if not for this salvation, yeah, can you stand me outside? Those are not to be found among saints. Let this mind be in you. Let us find out who you are, not by bragging. Yeah? Let men find out who you really are, not by bragging. Yeah? It was in the resurrection that they realized that Jesus was God. Hallelujah. It was in the resurrection that they realized, even upon that, they still asking about politics. Hallelujah. Say humility is the fruit of my spirit. Say that. Say humility is the fruit of my spirit. Humility is the fruit of my spirit because I'm born of God. Hallelujah. Humility is a part of you. Yeah, it's a part of you. It's not new to you. It's not new to you. Why? Because He who embodies humility lives in you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. God is at work in me. Say that God is at work in me, both to will and to do. Oh, God is at work in me, both to will and to do. God is at work in me, both to will and to do. I will give expression to God's willingness in me. I will give expression to God's ability in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah? So, you imagine. So people say they don't come to church again. Why? Because on my birthday they did not celebrate me. Was Jesus celebrated? No. Did he complain? No. I don't like gospel because they don't celebrate people. Is that how my birthday will just come and they will not even tell me happy birthday? They will not even post my picture? No. We don't go to service or we don't serve God because of our selfish desires. No. When it comes to service, you do that with a sincere heart. Yeah? See, when joy is missing in your service, check it well. It might lead to so many other things. Bitterness, strife, a lot of things. We remain joyful in the things we do. Yeah? Not slothful in business. Rejoicing in hope. Patience in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Hallelujah. Let the word not dictate how you serve Christ. Let the word dictate how you serve Christ. Yeah? We give our lives. See, money is not the first thing that the gospel needs. We need willing heart. The gospel needs willing heart before money. Yeah, when a man is not willing, he will be given as a transaction. If you serve God and you give your money, and you have money, you will give. Why? Because it is your all that is for God. It is your all you will give to God. It is your all you will give to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be one who your leader knows anytime a leader wants to correct you, you know, he has to use faith. Yeah? Father, touch his heart. Father, this brother, as I'm going to speak to him and correct him from the word, Lord, touch his heart. Yeah? You say, and brother, there will be prayer meeting on Saturday. Oh. Yeah? I just say, let me tell you. Be one who, before they tell you there's a prayer meeting, the first thing you ask is what time? You see, there are some of us amongst ourselves that I don't need to tell them beforehand that prayer is tomorrow. They will ask what time and they'll be there. Be among those. Be among those. Be among those. See, may wealth is my prayer daily, that may wealth, may age, may beauty, may handsomeness not enter my head when it comes to service to God. Yeah?
Yes, let your status not enter your head so that your leaders can't even speak to you. Your pastor can't even correct you from God's word. Every time your pastor sees you, the first thing he remembers is once bitten, twice shy. Or no, once bitten, forever shy. Eh? Pastor, I was under pressure. Pastor, it will not happen again. Next time before your pastor talks to you, he will step back. He has to ask, are you under pressure? Please, brother. Please, are you under pressure? Before I say what I want to say, are you under pressure? You now say, no, sir. That's okay. There's a meeting on Saturday. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah. Let service be something that comes from your heart. See, no matter what happens, see, now, like I said a few weeks ago, if somebody offends you in a church, don't say all churches are the same. Yeah. The remedy for a church that offends you, or remedy for a church that is not teaching God's word, is another church, not staying at home. Nah, I just worship God in my house on Sunday, you know. I just worship God and, you know, He dwells in me and comes now from the throne room of heaven. No, yeah. You know, I study the word. If you really study the word, you will know that you should not miss the gathering of saints. So it means that once anything kicks you out of the gathering of saints, let's say something kicks you finally. Yeah. The remedy to that is another church, another local assembly. Yeah. Stay fervent there. Don't because of your excuse of some bad eggs generalize all churches. All churches are the same. Eh? See, you cannot use bad judgment in the past to judge others. No, hasty generalization is as often as a result of an error in reasoning, in thinking. Hallelujah. You can't assume everybody in the world is the same because one pastor did something to you. No. The world in itself, by default, is not designed for us to render service to God. Yeah? But what the Romans say, do not be conformed to this world. Be fervent in the Spirit. Be fervent in the Spirit. Yeah? Be fervent in the Spirit. Let there be zeal. Let there be zeal. Let there be zeal. The burning zeal of God. Let it be in you. Let it be in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ask yourself another question. How willing are you, or how far are you willing to go for God? How far are you willing to go for God? How far are you willing to go for God? Opposition should not scare you. That's what Paul was saying. The opposition that you see is an evident token of the perdition that they are of. But to you, it is that you are saved. Yeah, opposition should not scare you. It should embolden you. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Let's end there finally. This is the final, finally. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. First Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. That means fix your eyes. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. That means let your eyes be fixed on that which matters. Let your eyes be fixed on the service that God rendered as a man in Christ Jesus. Yeah, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Don't give up, because your labor is not in vain. Continue in that service. Continue in that service. Render service. Keep your eyes fixed. Yeah, make use of your time to practice the things of God, to be corrected in the things of God. Yeah, make your mistakes now when not so many people are accountable to you, so that you can grow. Seek to be involved in God's work. Seek to make your eyes fixed decades ahead. Yes, seek to make your eyes fixed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a cost in following. There's a cost in following. You might not be noticed by everybody, but Jesus is watching. He says what? For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy. I'm just trying to be like Paul. You know, Paul will say finally, and he'll write two chapters after. I'm sorry about that. Look at 1 Timothy 4 verse 15. 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, verse 15. Yeah, so this teaching now that we have learned, what do we do? Bible says, see what Paul said to Timothy. It says, meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Hallelujah. So it means that what? There is a conduct expected as to appear to all. Yeah, your conduct is not what gets anyone saved, but there is an appearance that comes from your conduct. Yeah, it appears to all. God is not forgetful. God is not forgetful. Yeah? Your service to God is not in vain. It's not in vain at all. It is not in vain. No. God is not forgetful. Bible says in Hebrews 6, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hallelujah. He says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work. Hebrews 6 verse 10. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take up your cross daily. Follow him. Give yourself simply to devotion. Give yourself to devotion. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to things that matter. Fix yourself on the things that God would have you do. Yeah? For you know that God counts on you. It is God's will that all men be saved. And he would use you and he will use me. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've been able to learn a few things here and there. Until I come your way again on Sunday, Jesus remains glorified. Fix your eyes. That is what that matters. Stay joyful. Cheers.